Welcome to the Freud's Angels podcast, where two highly intuitive women dig into everyday problems using our connection to the divine, psychology, and energy work.
We support you in your self-awareness, growth, and aid you in your shadow work. Now we're your hosts.
I'm Vanessa.
And I'm Grace. Let's get into the show. Hey, angels. Welcome to episode 167 of the Freud's Angels podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Happy spring equinox. Happy Aries season. I know some of you find Aries season challenging, but I have an Aries moon. And so I am welcoming Aries season because the water of Pisces has gotten me like kind of done. Yeah. Although it's funny, and I know this is like tangent, but yesterday, I swear, I spilt water like three different times. And I'm like, okay, what emotions are not coming out, Grace?
Yeah.
Why are you spilling all the water?
Yeah. Like, big signals. Here they are. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Also, happy astrological new year, friends. Woohoo! Now life can begin. And then we're going to go into Mercury retrograde and on April 1st. So, yeah. Like, it's going to begin, but hold on.
Yeah, yeah, like start and stop. Start and pause.
Yes.
Oh my and God. I don't want to say I don't like Aries season, but it's very challenging for me. But I think that that's the Libra and it being on the opposite side, you know, like the direct opposite side, you know, being like, okay, you know, like I want it to be like spring, but I'm like, it's like overwhelming for me, you know, and that's, I think why when we talk about the different years and things like that, like I tend to do a lot more feeling like renewal in the fall, which doesn't make sense, right? Like it's like September and October, like the times where I'm like, okay, I'm ready. I'm a Libra, right? Like, and so that season just feels like my season. And so it makes sense that like the opposite is like there's too many things to do and I don't want to do any of them. Like, I don't want to do anything right now. And it's spring, right? Like, so it's time to do all the things. I mean, I want to plant stuff, but I'm still just kind of like, this is tedious versus exciting, you know? And so it's very, very interesting, you know, but like knowing that, like we had said in the reading, knowing that about ourselves, like understanding what those energies do to us is the key of working with them versus feeling like you're surrendering to them or like in a negative way, or you're getting bowled over by them, you know, to just kind of know what your energy does with all of these energies is like so important.
Yeah, it is. And you know, when I used to, back in the day, summer was my season because it's my birthday. It's when I was born. So it's like that renewal of like, oh yeah, this is my time of year. It's when I feel the most activated and the most, you know, I guess the more drive. It's like the awakenings or the newness happens in June for me, but which is valid, which is normal. This will come out in the middle of the week. So next Monday is also our eclipse, start of our eclipse season. It's on the Libra Aries axis. So that was what it was the last two eclipse seasons. So fun times, prepare yourselves, gird the loins, whatever you call it, you know, just prepare, get ready. You know, each one is different for all of us. Some of them haven't been as impactful as last year's, but last year's kicked my behind in a good way, but still was really difficult to work through. So anyways, back to today's podcast, because I could just ramble on about that for hours. Vanessa, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, we are going to talk about something that I think personally we can all relate to, but then it also did come up in a couple sessions this week. And so sometimes those are the easiest things for me to access when it's like, what are we going to talk about? I'm like, oh, this was interesting that we talked about. Let's expand on it here. It's kind of like the idea of outgrowing, right? Like, and even every time I say the word, I feel like, for me anyway, it has always kind of had this negative connotation of like, when you outgrow something, it's no longer good, right? Like you outgrow your clothes and then you get rid of them, you know? And like, you know, all of this, like, you know, if you outgrow a friendship, you think you're better than them or you're more advanced than them or, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? And so it becomes programmed within us to like not do that, right? Like, so if we start to feel energetically like we don't match in circles or with people anymore, we'll try to hang on to it. We'll try to, you know, stay as long as we can in that energy, instead of allowing ourselves to flourish, instead of allowing ourselves to go to different spaces and in different places and different groups. So I feel like, you know, it seemed like it was a interesting topic to kind of dive into. You know, we'll obviously have personal stories about it, but also, you know, just kind of the concept of it, right? Like as humans and as, you know, beings here in the 3D and like what it means to be a human having this experience and how, you know, how we can work with it instead of being afraid of it and like letting it hold us back.
Yeah, I think also an inviting grace, easing grace in with the process and not using the shame blame conversation, because I think that that's also what happens when we, you know, especially on the other side of it, when we realize, ooh, I allowed myself to get stuck, like in that space, and oh, you know, I should have known, or et cetera, et cetera. So yeah. This is a big one, because this is something that I think I've been challenged with most of my life, especially when it comes to teachers and mentors. You know, I think you had said in the beginning, we're talking about outgrowing, right? And the idea that we think outgrowing is, like you said, negative or bad or has that connotation. But I was like, yeah, but plants outgrow their pots and we just replant them in bigger spaces. And yeah. I think.
And we're like happy about it. We're like, yeah. Freaking growing.
It's thriving, right? A plant, when you need to repot your plant, it's because it's thriving and it needs a bigger space to grow. And yeah. I think that's a really good analogy for what happens sure. with us as humans, and what happens with us and how it happens. So I don't know. I think when you think and understand what you feel about outgrow, you know, we think of loss, leaving a spaces, like, and that's, there's that, but there's also expansion and more possibilities. I think, and here's where it kind of applies to my life. So y'all know, I keep talking about this, that I'm you know, the idea of moving into a different place, and it's not, I'm moving into a different apartment. It's, I'm moving into a completely different state. So like, like, it's not just a simple move. It's a, you know, yeah.
I need a little bit of a bigger space.
Yeah.
I need to get the hell out of here. Yeah. Go somewhere else. Yeah.
So, but lately this week, I've been realizing there's going to be a grief conversation, or there even is now, about the thought of leaving my dear friends, leaving people I love and adore, and the people and friendships I've created, and leaving them. And part of me, because I've wanted that for so long, and I finally have like had that created that or fostered that in this space, and to like, I feel, part of me feels like to risk it all and to leave is very sad and almost a little scary and almost a little, feels a little threatening, you know?
Yeah.
So it's understanding that. And so part of me is like, okay, so then we won't leave. Like, no, we'll stay. But I'm like, I don't know if that's okay. Because it's like, I'm outgrowing the pot I'm in, and then I'm going to start to suffer if I don't get replanted somewhere else, if that makes sense.
Oh so, yeah, absolutely. Cause that is what happens, right? Like we stunt the growth of, if we don't repot our plants, then they don't grow any bigger and they get root bound, then that's not good.
Yeah. I think that's part of my fear too. In that aspect is, you know, getting stuck here and never leaving, and just being comfortable with, and not even comfortable, but with content, not even content, because I'm not content, but like the idea of choosing the lesser of two evils, like kind of thing, like the idea of the grief process versus the not being feeling great in the space I live in, that
type like just avoiding, you know, like the what feels like the worst of the two feelings, right? Like, no, it makes sense. And I feel like for me personally, it came up, you know, where I don't know. I feel like this happens to me. And I felt like when I lived in Florida, I loved being in Florida. I loved the climate, and I loved, you know, there was so much that I loved about being there, but I noticed that I didn't really attach to the people, right? Like I didn't really, you know, like there were a couple of people that I worked with that I still keep in touch with, you know, other therapists, and I like them. And you know what I mean? Like they're people that I consider, you know, like people who could show up and hang out at any time, right? But I didn't like root there, you know, like I didn't feel like I belonged there. I felt like I belonged there for a certain period of time, and I kept trying to hold on to it, right? Like, and just be like, it's fine. But it was like, why am I not attaching to people? Right? Like what's going on here? Because I was coming from New Jersey where I had like this giant network of people I was completely attached to. And it was kind of like, well, what the, like, why did you leave all that behind if you weren't going to like create it here, you know? And like I had my hockey teams and whatever, and they were, you know, but I just didn't feel that same attachment to them. And so, like, I feel like when I got here, I got around like certain circles of people, and I felt very like, oh God, finally, you know what I mean? Like, I feel attached to these people. I feel attached to this place in a different way. Like, it was very palpable how different that was. But what has happened in the last, I would say, probably 4 or 5 months is that I've been feeling detached. I've been feeling like it's not that I don't want to be there, because I think my brain keeps telling me that I should want to be there, but I'm just not showing up. Like I'm just not being there. I'm not feeling the call like I used to. And it gets in my head, like psychologically, it gets in my head that programming is coming in to be like, what the hell is going on with you right now? Like these are your friends, or these are your healing spaces, or, you know, like what's going on? So, you know, I try to put myself there, and in certain places I can feel like I'm okay, but it doesn't feel the same, right? And so that becomes confusing, right? And I'm battling the idea of like, what am I actually outgrowing here, right? Because I can't figure out what that temporary thing was about, right? Like, and so I think that's what happens, right? Like, is that if we don't take the time to contemplate that, we don't know what's going on, and we just kind of like force ourselves to do stuff, right? If I was not in this contemplation of being like, I feel what's happening, and I'm not gonna allow myself to force anything, then if I wasn't having this conversation with myself, I would be forcing it. I'd be going to everything. I'd be doing all the things. I'd be allowing myself to just be like, well, people expect you to be there, so you should be there, right? Yeah. But like, I'm not allowing that. But it comes with a conversation of like, well, what's going on? You know, like, I don't want these people to think I don't care about them anymore, or I don't love them because I don't want to be in those spaces, right? So that becomes like the conversation of like learning how to be fluid. Shouldn't be that hard for an air sign who wants to be all over the place, right? But it is, right? Because I feel like the conversation I continue to have with myself is about rooting and how it feels like I should be doing that, right? But then you feel like you're rooting, and then you feel like you're not, because you don't want to stay in those certain places. It's very confusing, right? Like, and I can feel like even as I'm saying it, I'm like, this is why it's confusing, right? Because your brain comes in to tell you all the things that you've learned, and now you're battling it because your heart and your soul is still like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
It's still a hard no.
Yeah. Super hard no. Yeah.
Still don't go.
And I think, you know, I think too, you know, from my experience, and especially through the lens of our growth, right? When we enter in communities, we have mentors, we have people that sometimes for the first time made us understand what community was like, the possibilities of our life was like. Like it, they opened up doors and awareness for us that we don't understand. There's more doors and awareness out there to show up for us. But I also think too is that when we shift and we grow, our ideals, our thought processes grow at various rates, right? Mm-hmm. All of the people that we're in connection with, our circles, our communities, each one of those people are growing at a different pace. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes when it's our moment to grow beyond the group and beyond the space, we feel, for me especially, like there's an abandonment thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm abandoning my circle or community, or, you know, I'm moving on into different spaces, and that's okay. But I don't even know if it's abandonment. I think too is it's security and the idea of staying in that space and staying with the known, because when you go into the unknown, it's scary, especially if you're on a healing journey. I mean, for me, in the beginning, I remember my first like training besides Reiki that I took, and the mentor that I took it with, like I finally saw possibilities. I met my best friend from there. Mm-hmm. And so like, it expanded my world. It gave me courage. It gave me hope that, you know, wow, okay, you know, there is possibilities in doing the things that I want to do. But at the same time, I also saw where I give my power up thinking I'm the perpetual student.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because there are some teachers who foster, like Phoenix. She was a mentor. She was pivotal in kind of where I'm at now. And I facilitate her work for people. Mm-hmm. And it, 'cause I truly believe in it, because it's changed my life, mm-hmm. you know, but she allowed me to go from student to teacher. She allowed me to go from student to peer. She allowed me to my evolution in the process. So I didn't feel like I needed to leave that space. However, a previous mentor of mine, always kind of patronizing with, you know, okay, you know, breathe, whatever. And it was frustrating, because I'm like, I got here, not because I need further help, but because I know myself. And it was really upsetting, but validating that when the moment happened where I made the conscious choice not to associate with her because of a situation that happened that I felt not okay with, I kind of had to step back, and really it happened because it was Spirit's way of showing, you need to disconnect from this.
Mm-hmm.
Because this person, giving all your power to this person, is not in your highest good, because that person does not honor that and does not honor you. She just honors herself and her, what she's making as far as money. And that's fine. That's her choice. But I know me, I always felt like I have to learn, like I don't know enough, or that I need to more training and the, you know, I know y'all are out there, the people that take like 900 workshops and you don't use any of what you've learned, but you keep taking them because you feel like one of these things is going to make it happen for you. And it's my whole life. I have more certifications than I think. I care to know. So it's
like, because that industry isn't about teaching you to go. You know, I mean, it doesn't make business sense. I mean, I feel like this is what happens when, you know, like when I used to have business mentors where they would want me to be the authority. And it was like, that's not how it works. They're the authority. And my job is to teach them that they are the authority. Right. Like, and like that, if they still need me after that, right. Like, because they like me as the mirror, or they like me as the sounding board, or they, you know, then that's fine. But it's not about me being the all knowing. I don't want that. That's to me the exact opposite of what I'm here for. Right. But the industry, it depends on that. Right. Because if you start to feel like, you know, it's a one and done with people where you teach them something and then they're gone. Well, then you're always going to have to find people to teach. And it's just a steady flow. They want you to come back. They want you to feel like they have all the answers and you don't have them yet. I mean, it really is like once you've been through enough of it, you start to see it, you know, and you start to see the people. And it's not to be negative, you know, everybody has their own journey, but you do start to see it, and you can tell the difference between somebody who has the energy of like, I'm here for guidance of whatever it is that you need, but I'm not here as the all-knowing that you need to bow to, you know, and like the good news is that, you know, when you were talking, I was thinking about it too, of just being like, yeah, I think we've all been in those spaces where we're like, oh my God, tell me everything. You know, like we're amazed by what they have brought to us. We're amazed by the growth that we've had because of their program or their workshop or whatever. And that's fine. But this concept that we're talking about is being like, okay, I take what I've like what I've learned and now I go with it, right? Like that it's meant to be a transient space versus a space I have to stay in the hierarchy that it exists in, right? Yeah. Like I can take that beautiful experience that person brought to me and now I go, right? But it feels, again, like, you know, we have to be conscious and be able to sit with ourselves and say, have I received everything that I need from this space right now? Where do I feel like I need more information, and why do I feel like I need more information? Is it I literally just need more information, or is it I don't trust myself with the information I currently have and I'm just seeking, you know, lots of hand holding because I'm afraid to let go, you know? And that's, you know, the difference between seeing yourself as outgrowing something and seeing yourself as, you know, needing to stay there. Because, you know, you're meant to be there, or you have to be there, or you owe them, or they you know, they're your lifelong mentor.
Yep. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, friends. Please don't mistake this conversation for a thing if you're in that space that it's wrong or that there's judgment there, because there isn't, because we all experience that. I think in awakening to the power that we have and the knowledge and who we are and our journey, we're in different places. Like, you know, 9 years ago, I couldn't understand that. I didn't have the understanding of that. I you know, it's also Gemini me. I'm constantly seeking information, but mm-hmm. I did it in a way that was giving up my power, but which was fine because at that time I didn't understand my power. I didn't know how mm-hmm. to own it because I had too many belief systems about myself to own the power that I had. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand it. And so I just went with what was right at the time. And sometimes that's not like, sometimes it's not what we think it is. Sometimes it's very different and that's okay. But it's the evolution. And I think more the message is, don't be afraid to outgrow them.
Yeah.
Yes, there may be a grieving process, especially if they've been a mentor for a long time. And knowing that you leaving their circle may discontinue your connection with them because of how they feel or who they are. And that's a process to grieve and to understand how you feel about it. But don't not grow because you're afraid or you think that you need one thing or one person. Mm-hmm. Because as we evolve, right, when we start our journey, every step, every new piece of information, every healing moment means we are evolving. So our needs evolve with us. Your needs now that you've been healing for a period of time is vastly different than when you first started. And so the outer community, people around you are going to reflect that need, but you need to be able to let it go in order to allow that new collective of people to come in to assist you where you're at.
Yeah, for sure. And it's weird, you know, like I feel like for me it's weird because the experience that I had recently was like, well, now what? You know what I mean? Like the old standby isn't working, you know, I'm like, so what does that mean? You know, like it doesn't mean I've arrived, you know, like Wayne Dyer says, I'm always arriving, I just don't know where I'm arriving next, you know. And I was a little bit like, okay. You know, and there was guilt that came with it, right? Like I felt guilty because I was like, I feel judgmental right now, and I'm not being judgmental. I'm being honest with how I feel. Am I being honest with my soul to soul connection being, you know, just not feeling right, you know, and it's okay. You know, like the person that I'm thinking of now, I love that person, and that person I know is on a specific journey, and I know that they, you know, like I know they are good, and I know that, but I was just kind of like, wow, we don't connect on this level right now. We don't connect because the space that you're in is not the space that I'm in with this, and it's okay. right? Like, it's okay. But it had to be glaringly obvious, I think, to me to be able to say, listen, you don't just put yourself in places because you're excited about them sometimes. Like, you have to be more thoughtful about it. If I'm being honest, I knew ahead of time that I was a little bit like, you know, like, I don't even know, you know, it was like that intuition, right? Like the intuition versus trauma. The intuition tells you to pay attention. The trauma tells you the whole story. I didn't have the whole story. I just was kind of like, eh, you know what I mean? Like, and then I get there and I was like, oh, you know, and I'm like, I had to like break my neck to get there, basically. You know, like everything's going wrong. It's getting hard to do. And I forced myself, you know, and it definitely was like, oh, okay. You know, but it was good for me because there was a huge contrast in that space. And that's why I'm not upset that I did it. It was a contrast and it was a learning experience for me because I was actually able to see two things at once. I was able to see what I had outgrown and I was able to see what I had not outgrown because it's not possible, because I saw the difference in what energy was here. You guys can't see my hands, but I'm pointing to different places. What energy was here and what energy was here and where they were coming from, right? And being able to say, yeah, I definitely am in this person's space still. I haven't outgrown that person because I don't think it's possible to outgrow that energy that they bring, but I have outgrown this type of energy and that's okay too. You know, like it's totally fine. It's fine, you know, but I had to have that experience, I think, to be able to have that talk with myself, to say, you know, you don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to feel bad. You don't have to feel judgmental to be able to sit and say, I'm not getting what I think I'm supposed to get from this because I don't think it's the same energy that I'm at now. I think I've gone in a different direction of how I receive information or what information I'm looking for or the spaces that I'm looking to be in. I mean, all said and done, I'm kind of like, well, so I'm like the pot that's going, or I'm like the plant that's going, where's the next pot? Like it's like I got uprooted and now there's no pot for me to sit in. Like, now what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. 1,000%. And it's hard because I think too, is this, when we're on our journeys, I feel that this idea that tribe is forever, right? That you will find it and then that's it. Like that's the goal. Mm-hmm. But that's a huge misnomer because something I've learned along the way is that tribes change and shift because sometimes certain tribes can't go beyond where they're at, right? Mm-hmm. There's because of whatever reason, either their belief in the thing that they're giving, sharing, or teaching is that's it. Like there's nothing more. Like they're not evolving with the work. They're kind of in that space of needing to stay here because this is who they've marketed themselves at and that's it. Like that's it. But which is fine because it's their choice, right? But I think too, those of us who are constantly in that state of like the evolution of curiosity of where we're headed or what's next or the next thing that comes along, you're going to find that you may change your tribe. A few core people will stay with you. And it's not that you will find it, you will create it from the many different beings that are around you. I mean, the people I'm with now are vastly different from the people that I was with before. Like the energy is different. The quality of people are different. Where they are is different. And I feel that as we emerge into spaces, whether we're trying to do the work or teach or help or coach or whatever that is, our clients or the people we give the information to evolves with us. And so we can't ever stay in that one space or another. The other thing I think is important to talk about here is when you're learning something and you're teaching someone else's work, that there is, because I teach Phoenix's work, like, but there's a difference between teaching it and evolving it and embodying it, right? Yeah. Because I can teach it word for word, and I have, and I've done it successfully, but it has not been mine. It has not been my own energy. And the people that come to me to learn or to understand it or to evolve with it have come to me because of my vibration. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when I taught it before, while it was fine, there was a disconnect between my energy and the information, right? Mm-hmm. But when I learned that, you know, the energy that I channel during the meditations, the information and the processes remains true to the core of what it is, but I allow spirit to bring me what is needed in the moment because I have embodied the process. I understand the process from A to B, right? Mm-hmm. But the core process of getting there is the same, but the energy that's coming in is true to me, which mm-hmm. is why all those people, and the last time I taught this, the success and the evolution of each person in that group has been far greater than any other group I've taught before this. So, mm-hmm. and that's because, like, I've always embodied the process, but I never brought that to the teaching of it. Right. Brought the embodiment. So it's more authentic and it sounds more me, but yet the core information is still the same. You can do that. That's the whole purpose of having different people to teach your stuff, is that you're sticking with the facts and the information and the techniques, but you're allowing your own personal energy to help evolve it. And I think that's an important distinction to understand when you're just going through the motions and reading what's on the paper or regurgitating what was regurgitated to you. That's not your magic. And that's why it may fall short, or you may not be successful in teaching it, because I don't think I was successful the first two or three times I taught this. Yeah. The people were successful, but I didn't feel successful. Like, I felt like I was just reading the paper.
Yeah. And then the difference, I think, really is, like, it can tell you a lot about what you actually believe in, right? Like, so if you had taught that and been like, I don't actually believe in this, you wouldn't have been able to connect to it the way that you were able to connect to it, right? Like, you came to a realization of, like, embodying, you know, like, wanting it to be deeper within you because you did believe in it, right? Right. Like, and I feel like there is a reality of sometimes you don't believe in it and it will not embed in you and you will not embody it. And I feel like, you know, like, I'm thinking in particular of, you know, being part of somebody something and having them be, this is the way to do it, and me being me anyway, like, the second you tell me this is the way to do it, I'm like, absolutely not, right? Like, you will not tell me that that's the way it's going to be. But I didn't believe in it wholeheartedly in the form that it was brought to me. I couldn't connect to it because it felt harsh, or it felt like it was missing a lot of things, and to me it was like, that's the co-creation that I want with any information. I want to take it with me and then I want to bounce it off of all the things and all the people and all the whatever, because nothing is a be all end all, right? Yeah. So like, if I take the information that mentor gave to me and I bring it to somebody with, like, as, and this is what I've done with psychology, right? Like, I learned all that stuff, but I also am smart enough to know that every human doesn't go along with all these theories. So I take that information and I bounce it off those people and I allow it to be a moving thing versus a static thing. And that's what I think, you know, when we watch somebody regurgitating something, it is the knowledge that it is static and it has to be static. And if something's static, you can't embody it because it didn't come from you, right? Like, so, you know, it's weird, like, when we think of it that way, because we're like, isn't that how you learn, right? Like, you just take the information and now you know it. Like, well, yeah, but this is why we have so many problems in our societies, because we forget to think about it, to let it, to embody it. If it fits, try it on. If it doesn't fit, put it back on the rack and go find something that does fit, that you can embody so you can feel authentic. Because there's something that comes across. And to me, it was very, very, you know, like, I probably have been this person too. And, like, going back through my videos, which happened, I went on LinkedIn and was like, oh my God. Like, I deleted some videos because I was like, I don't even know who that human being is. Right? Like, wow. But it was very telling, right? Like of where my belief systems were. I could feel my inauthenticity. I could feel that it was just like, gosh, this is a person who just is doing what somebody told them to do, right? Versus somebody who really sat with themselves, let it be their own words, their own energy, their own opinions, their own belief systems, their own experiences of themselves and others. It's completely different now because I did learn that. I did learn that, man, you can take somebody's information, but like, it's not meant to be static. Nothing's meant to be static. It's all meant to be dynamic. And you can feel when it's not dynamic.
Yeah, 1,000%. And there is such an energetic disconnect that it's so obvious. You're like, this doesn't really sound like.
Yeah, like, I don't feel like you're pouring this into me from your soul. Like, I just don't feel it. I feel like you're a teacher in a blackboard and I don't like it.
Yep. Yeah, 1,000%, because it's, and here's the thing too with that. Part of me feels like you have to sometimes do it that way first.
Sure.
You have to get started to understand.
That's our programming. That's what our programming is. So we're going to start there.
So it's not to say that if you start there, it's wrong, because I started there, but I allowed myself to evolve with my process, and it gave me the courage and the realization how much I love teaching, like how much it's such a part of me to watch people grow and people get their epiphanies, or people go into those aha moments of like, oh yeah, oh, and like that feeling of coming home to themselves, like that is so important to me, and it fills up my cup, right? And even if they don't have those aha moments, even the micro evolutions of who they are. I have this one student right now that when she started had no idea. And she entered into a class with some pretty advanced humans, like who had already kind of been on a journey of that sort. And she kind of didn't. And to have her kind of watch her flower and blossom into the human she is now. Like before, she wouldn't be like, I don't really have anything to share. And she didn't understand. And now she's like, I'll share. She's like the first one raising her hand. And she's like telling us all these things that are happening and how she's experiencing it. And she's like, this is so strange. She's like, I'm in awe of this. And but even the smallest things have like, it's so, I don't know, for me, it's so heart filling to watch people go through that process and to just embody what they're learning and not see it as another course that they're taking for another certification. You know what I mean? Sure. And that took me having to do it, the reading from the paper way, a first couple of times.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't start somewhere, I never would have started. It's that for me, it's like, oh, it has to be perfect. Like, no, I just started. I just did it. Somebody believed in me, helped allow me and encourage me to do it. I did it. I realized how much I love it. And then it was like, okay, I can step into this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I said, I feel like it's our programming. Our programming is nowadays to be like, learn it and do it the same way that you've learned it, you know, and that's not natural, right? Like when we go back, if we go back prior to industrial times, it was not that really that way, right? But we can see the influence of society on that whole like expert culture type thing. And, you know, just kind of like, well, I'm not the expert, so why should I act like the expert? Like, oh God, like you don't twist the expert's words or the expert's, you know, opinions and everything like that. But it's, you know, once you start to learn differently, you're like, that's not what I'm doing. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, that is where we all start, because we are all starting with that same programming right now. You know, my hope is that we're shifting the tides a little bit so that people can be a little bit more soft with it, you know, and expect that it's going to be dynamic and want it to be dynamic so that we can cut through the chase, right? Like people can spend less time in the discomfort of inauthenticity is, you know, always my goal. Like I want you to be able to skip a few steps if you can, so that you learn what you need to learn a lot faster and get to the good stuff a lot faster. So, you know, because we spend a lot of time in misery that we don't have to spend the amount of time in misery, right? Like it's like, we can a lot of times learn our lessons a little bit faster if we're given permission to, you know, if we're nurtured to have that as an expectation, right? Here's some information. Here's how I'm going to hand that to you. The expectation as I give this to you as somebody who's going to teach it to other people, my expectation is that you'll make it yours. That you're not, that I'm not the guru, and that you're just my minion out there, you know, peddling my stuff as the guru, right? Like my thing is just like any other great thought leader. They share with you what their experience is because they want you to have that experience, right? They're just like, oh my God, like here's how I got here. Figure out your way there. Right? Yeah. Like, because the end result is for you to get there. I want you to get there. All I can do is give you my experience of how I got there, though. Right. And so, you know, but again, we ruined it along the way. And we're just like, oh, well, it has to be like expert culture instead of just, you know, like, here's some information. Take it and get to your end result. Allow it to mix in with you as an individual person. Let that be dynamic instead of static. But, you know, all of that being said, I feel like we definitely, on the whole, tend to create lots of circles that are like this, whether it's friend circles or, you know, professional circles or, you know, I mean, we do this a lot so that we don't allow ourselves to outgrow because we don't believe that that's the right thing to do. We believe that we're supposed to be static in a lot of things because there's honor and loyalty and, you know, all kinds of other words that we use to hurt ourselves.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you all know I've shared my inability to let friendships go when it's time to let them go. And I have to have moments where I'm so upset or hurt or deeply, like, it has to be tragic. Like, we all know this. I don't, because of that, because of the idea of leaving tribe, leaving friends, like, I've struggled making friends my whole life, which it's not, I think it's mainly because of just now I understand that is kind of my human design is that I'm not a social butterfly. And so it makes sense. And so it, you know, and having them, like, I don't want to walk away from them if like I've outgrown them because I have one and yeah. It's like a rare unicorn. It's like, you're not going to just walk away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You know, but that's something I'm also learning is like, when I'm done, I'm done. Like, I don't need to have conversation. It's like, I can just stop. And if they want to find out, great. But that took me a while. Cause I mean, even recently I've had to go to the point of getting myself hurt to walk away. So. Yeah.
Well, and I think, I mean, when we think about anything that we bring into our lives, it's with our current energy. And as we learn and grow, we shift our energy, right? And so things will no longer align. So when we think about friends that we brought into our lives when we were not in our best place, it's kind of like, well, yeah, it makes sense, right? Like, but in order to get friends that are in the same place as me, I have to stop putting all of my energy over in the spaces that I don't belong in anymore. And again, sounds bad. We're like, oh my God, you just like use people. And it's like, that's not how, again, that's a construct that we've made up. We've made it up that if you don't stay friends forever, that you're, you know, some sort of disloyal person. Right. Yeah. Like, instead of allowing things to be transient, instead of allowing things to be like momentary and letting it be a beautiful process of evolution so that everybody gets a bit of everything from everywhere. You know, to me, that's way more beautiful than to sit in the same spot with the same people all the time.
Yeah.
And as I just said that out loud, I was like, oh,
I know.
It felt so icky for me anyway. I mean, I know that there's comfort that people have, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying for me, right? For me, I don't like the idea of sitting with the same people all the time because I love different energies and I love to learn things and I love to feel expansive and I love to feel dynamic, you know, and it's more about intention, right? So if somebody does have that opposite feeling, right? Like, of no, I like this. I like, but I've landed myself in a circle that outgrowing doesn't mean going beyond it, right? That it's meant to be a dynamic group where everybody grows and we come together for a certain reason, then yes, you sit with the same people, right? And you do the same things and you're in the same spot, but it's not based on the idea that we all stay in the same everything. We all stay in the same mindset, or we all stay in the same, you know, like place physically, you know. It's like, I'm thinking of my friend group that I have in New Jersey, and I'm just kind of like, man, we are all over the place all the time, but we stay in the group, right? Like, because there is this acceptance and this desire that everybody gets to be dynamic. Nobody is like only supposed to be a certain way in order for us to be part of the group. And I love that. That's what what I want for everybody.
Well, and it's like the idea of, you think about it, it's like, I always say everybody has a different flavor. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes up the dynamic part of the group. And it's not that each, we're reliant on others to be in the group. It's, I have many different groups that, mm-hmm. that talk to many different parts of me. Right. Mm-hmm. And not all of them are going to be the same. And sometimes, and to be honest with you, and even talking about community and talking about groups of people, it makes me a little anxious, mm-hmm. because I don't do well with multiple people, right? I don't, unless I'm teaching and I'm, or like I'm just the facilitator of the group, it's really hard for me to be in the group because of the fact that I just don't do well when there's multiple friends. I remember when I first moved to Sedona, the second birthday, first or second birthday I had there, it's when I turned 40. And I had a dinner with all of my friends, and the vast differences between all of my friends, it was like, I'm not sure how we made it through dinner because of such the different personalities. And I'm like, oh, this is why I don't do group friend things, because
they're all so different.
We would all get along.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my goodbye party from New Jersey. It was like me bouncing from group to group. Like, here's my hockey people. Here's my local band people. Here's the motorcycle club. Here's this. You know what I mean? And I'm just kind of bouncing in between all these people and being like, you know, not that they didn't get along, but there's definitely like the commonalities were very small in between each group. Yes. You know, versus like you said, they all speak to a part of me, right? Like, and so I spend my time in those circles for those specific, you know, reasons for the most part, or like those are the energies that I tap into, you know. Yeah. But yeah, it totally makes sense. But once you learn that about yourself, you feel different, right? Like, it feels okay. Different than when you're like, I don't have big parties, you know, and you feel like you're just like, I have no friends. And it's just kind of like, no, I'm not, that's not even what I want. Again, yeah. Like, that's some weird programming that's in my brain that tells me that makes me more worthy, but that's not even what I want. It's not even what I want.
No. And you know, and I just think that we think we have to have one group and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, and that's so not true. You know, I don't know. I just think if we're more expansive with our groups, the feelings, you know, and allowing ourselves to flow. Granted, this is coming from an air sign, so take this with a huge ass grain of salt, yes. Because we're like little butterflies that float from plant to plant. So if you're a Capricorn or some earth sign and you're like, no, I got my few friends and I'm good, that makes sense. You don't need to strive to be like a butterfly, because sometimes it doesn't work for non-air signs. But
yeah.
But for me, I don't know.
It's the dynamic feeling though, right? Like what we were talking about before, like, you know, that one friend group that I have, like they're a core friend group that I know I'll have through my entire life, but there's a dynamic in there. I don't feel like there's any kind of pressure to be a certain way, or there's no certain leader, or there's no like group think that I have to be part of in order to be part of that group. And I feel like that's, you know, like that's the thing about it, right? Like, is feeling free within them, feeling like authenticity of at any time is a good thing, right? Like, it's when, you know, kind of going back to what we were talking about, like when we feel like we can't be authentic, we have to look at the place that we're in and how we've possibly outgrown it. And that doesn't mean you just take off right away, right? Like, you know, like Run. Yeah. Speaking from experience, sometimes it's not the right thing to do. And you learn it by doing it the other way. But you allow yourself to contemplate, right? Like you sit with it and say, I feel like I've outgrown this, but does it still fit in some way, right? Like, do I have to just dump the whole thing, or am I just kind of like, oh, I need to lessen the time I spend in that space so that I can increase the energetic time I spend in a different place, right? Because that often is the answer too. You know, I mean, it's really just about being able to know ourselves and allow for expansion versus deciding that expansion is all of those negative things that we were talking about, abandonment or thinking you're better than somebody or, you know, being disloyal, because all of those things are self-abandonment. And yep. we don't do well with that.
Yeah, it's hard. Ugh. Yeah, and talking about self-abandonment, sorry, you just triggered a train of thought in me talking about that is I think too, like you were saying, understanding where you do self-abandon, mm-hmm. and understanding for the sake of groups, mm-hmm. for the sake of whatever it is we think we're seeking. Mm-hmm. I think that was a really big thing for me, is realizing I don't want this. Mm-hmm. And I like, this isn't what I would do, but I would do it for the sake of the group, if that makes right. sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It does. Because I've always done it, or because these are my people, or, you know, all of the, again, like all of these weird programmings that we have in there that we don't know the origins of, but we certainly all carry them, you know, mm-hmm. of like, well, what am I doing here then? What do I really want what do I really want? Right? Is it possible within this group, or do I just stop being in it as often? Right? Because I need to be in other spaces. I mean, it really is like it's not black and white. And I think we tend to make it black and white, of either you belong here or you belong there. But it really is just kind of like knowing where we feel we should be in any moment based on how we feel, not how we think or how we were programmed to believe. Right. Because it gets us eventually. I mean, that's the thing about it. This is what I tell everybody. Like, eventually your soul guy is going to win eventually, you know, it's just like,
stop resisting.
Yeah. Like, talk to him now. Right. Like, make the transition a little bit easier. Allow yourself to bit by bit it, instead of like freaking the hell out and running and making a big mess. You know, it doesn't have to be a big mess. Just listen now, integrate versus, you know, black and white, and just, you know, it'll feel so much better. You know, we have less of, you know, less guilt and shame when we do things with intention and bit by bit. And this is one of those, you know, of just you don't just wake up one day and go, I've outgrown this circle, and never speak to them again, because you're not going to feel good about that if you do it. You know, you have to be able to be like, oh, you know, and dip your toes in and think about what it is, and think about if you know, if there's certain things that still are there that you do attach to, then you know that there's certain things, but you don't spend as much time there, because you know that it's not fulfilling you the same way. It's okay. If we all could believe that, then we would get a whole lot less of like, where are you going, from other people? Because that happens. You know what I mean? I mean, I feel like that's part of the people pleasers problem, right? Like, of leaving is, I haven't seen you in forever. Where have you been? And you're kind of like, I'll be there at the next thing, you know? And you're like, no, I don't want to be there at the next thing. Like, what's your deal right now? Why are you agreeing to do things that you don't want to do?
Yeah.
And I feel good saying that, because I'm like, yeah. I feel like I'm in a great place of like not doing it. You know, like I did that little test thing, but I'm just like, I mean, I know. That's why I haven't been doing it. I know I've been cocooning. I know that I enjoy it. I know that it's good for me. I know that I'm learning things. So like, I don't have to. And that people that are meant to be connected to me, get it. They get it. They see me. They feel my authenticity. Right. And the people who don't feel my authenticity can't. And that's okay. Like, I don't have, there's no judgment there. It's just not the connection that we have. And that's okay.
Yeah. But wherever you're at in this, friends, allow yourself to meet yourself where you're at. Because I think that this is an evolution of understanding about ourselves. And do so, please try to do so with compassion and understanding versus the judgment of why do you give all your power away? Well, there's a reason. There's reasons we do things. And sometimes we can't just go from not doing them to not doing them. And it's an evolution of understanding of where the things that drive us to do it, because if we don't understand that, we're never going to not do it. And it takes time, but be curious with yourself and be curious with your process and how you see it. But always understand is that even if you don't believe it in this moment, you have the knowledge, you have the power, you have the understanding, you are capable of doing it in your own energy. And your own energy is just as important as everybody else's because you matter. Yes. And I think that that's a core understanding that needs to, that is helpful in this process. So we hope that we've shared some food for thought, maybe examine some of the places where you are perpetually the student or always the acquiescing one and not generally allowing yourself to have say in what it is you want or need in the moment. And also don't be afraid to get out of the pot and get into a new one that's bigger and more expansive and that leads you to bigger and brighter things. Yes. We love you and we'll see you next week.
Hey, love you.
If you were triggered by anything said in this podcast, please dial 911 or go to your local emergency room.
To more deeply understand your unique emotional reaction to today's podcast, I'd love for you to connect with me. You can find me at VanessaPerryCounselor@gmail.com or at www.vanessaperry.net.
And if you wish to take your healing further through energy work or channeling angels or the highest level beings, please reach out to me, Grace, at graceevergreen.com or graceevergreen@outlook.com. And always remember, you are loved,
you are worthy,
and the world needs your light.